Hello and welcome to Jazz Northwest, our regular Sunday afternoon survey of the regional jazz scene. I'm Jim Wilkie, and before we get started, I just want to say thank you to everyone who made a gift during the recent KNKX fall drive. We met our $600,000 goal and ended the drive ahead of schedule. If you haven't given, it's never too late because donations are accepted at any time at knkx.org. And thank you. Today's show is a preview of the upcoming Earshot Jazz Festival. The 29th annual festival begins October 8th, just a week away, and John Gilbert, the executive director of the Earshot Jazz Festival, will be joining us a little later in the program. We'd like to kick off with one of the headlining bands for the festival, which will be appearing on October 19th. This is the group Hudson, so named for a group of musicians who live up the Hudson River from New York City. Jack DeJohnette, celebrating his 75th birthday with his tour. Larry Grenadier, John Medeski, and John Schofield make up the band Hudson. Here they are in music from their same-titled album, Hudson. This is a piece called El Swing.
Thank you.
That's the group Hudson, an all-star group which includes Jack DeJohnette, NEA Jazz Master on drums, Larry Grenadier, the great bass player, John Medeski, who plays a variety of keyboards on this album, and great John Scofield on guitar. This group will be playing as part of the Earshot Jazz Festival at the Moore Theater on Thursday, October 19th. John Gilbreth will join us now. John Gilbreth's the executive director of Earshot, and a lot of planning goes into this festival. A lot of great groups are appearing at this year's festival, including the one we just heard, the group Hudson.
The band is an all-star band, and it's not an all-star band that rests on its all-star laurels, as some will do. And just
a super band.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. These guys really come to play, and they really tear it up. Jack DeJohnette brings, you know, such deep roots in straight-up jazz, but also brings a certain element of spirituality and of searching that goes way beyond, you know, just the formal structure of jazz.
Coming out of a lot of his previous associations, too.
Absolutely, yeah. So he brings a lot to the bandstand, and especially now as an established master, but in this band, not really sitting back and letting everyone else do the work.
Well, that's a great band and one not to be missed. They're going to be playing one of the larger venues for this festival. They're going to be at the Moore Theater.
At the Moore Theater, right.
Right, and they'll...
On October 19th.
October 19th.
Yep.
Also, I wanted to talk about a couple of local pianists who are so important to the scene. Overton Berry, first of all, this opening weekend of the festival, and also Don Clement, who is going to be a featured artist this year, an artist in residence, if you will. Let's talk about Overton Berry.
We're starting off the week. First of all, we're happy to be back at Demetrio's Jazz Alley doing a couple of festival things there on Monday nights. On October 9, Monday night, it's a tribute to Overton Berry, and Overton is just such a charming and beloved figure of the Seattle jazz scene. Not exactly the last man standing from the Jackson Street era, but certainly at 80-some years old, but still absolutely charming and playing the piano really, really well. So this will be his own trio, and then there'll be some very special musical guests and some very special storytelling. I think some lies might be told. Jay Thomas will be in with some stories. The drummer Greg Williamson has worked with me in preparing several aspects of the thing. So he's going to have some old slides. He's going to have a lot of things from Overton's history at the Doubletree and really a lot of different aspects. So we'll have a lot of guest artists and stories and some slides and video and recordings and things like that. And I still have a couple of special surprises up my sleeve for that.
Great. I want to talk about another pianist of a totally different generation, and that is Don Clement, who was a student at the Cornish College of the Arts and then came immediately back to become a faculty member.
I love it when that happens.
Yeah, and she's just she's such an energetic person.
Yeah.
Brings a lot of joy to her playing as well.
A lot of humanity to her playing, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. And Dawn is such a positive and vibrant scene, but she's an astounding piano player. And as she develops in the world, whatever it is we all do as we go through the years, I'm convinced that Dawn will take her place at the table of Seattle jazz greats and the history of the city's involvement with the art form. She's really got a lot going on, and we're delighted to have her for our festival resident artist this year. Dawn has come up very enthusiastically with a schedule of duo performances that she wanted to sprinkle in throughout the series, and then a special night just with her main stage at Poncho Concert Hall at Cornish on November 11th. She'll be doing duos with the great Dr. Julian Priester. She'll be doing duos with Marina Albera, which we tried to hook up as two grand piano duos, but it's not going to work that way. But Marina is great on instruments besides the piano. And then she'll be doing some solo Monk works and duo Monk things on the 10-10 date at the Seattle Art Museum. And then on her own 11-11, she'll be doing duos with John A. Kendrick as well. And John A. is also singing at Bake's Place on Sunday night.
On the 22nd.
Here.
Yeah.
Yep. So, really, with Don Clement in a variety of settings. You know, a couple of years ago when we did that 10-10 Monk tribute at Town Hall, taking the actual charts from Monk at Town Hall in New York City from 1959, we invited 10 individual jazz piano players to perform one Monk selection of their own choice. And of the 10 individual pianists, it was really Dawn. And she got a standing ovation after playing her one piece because she brought to the thing not a willingness to concertize and embellish, but just this authenticity and joy inside the music that the audience absolutely caught hold of.
John Gilbreth, the executive director of Earshot Jazz, our guest on Jazz Northwest today, talking about the upcoming Earshot Jazz Festival, which begins a week from today. We'll listen to some music next by the two pianists we've just been talking about, a couple of recordings that are made around 40 years apart. The first one by Overton Berry from a long-running gig at the Doubletree Inn in Seattle in the late 60s and early 70s. And then we'll hear something from Dawn Clement, who we've just been talking about from her trio album titled Break. First, here's Overton Berry at the piano, who's going to be featured on the opening weekend of the festival next weekend. Overton Berry is heard here with Chuck Metcalf on bass and Bill Kotick on drums, and this is an Overton Berry original, one of our favorites from this era. It's called the Guacamolean Shuffle.
Thank you.
A couple of Seattle pianists recorded in trio form about 40 years apart, both appearing at this year's Earshot Jazz Festival. We first heard from the Overton Berry Trio playing at the Doubletree Inn at South Center in the Corktree Room, it was called at the time. Overton Berry at the piano with Chuck Metcalf on bass and Bill Kotick on drums, and a tune called Guacamole and Shuffle, which was written by Overton Berry. And Overton Berry is going to be playing on the opening weekend of the festival, next weekend, here in Seattle. And that will be a performance which takes place at Demetrio's Jazz Alley on Monday night, a week from now. And just now, we were listening to pianist Dawn Clement, who was heard there with Dean Johnson on bass, and the great Matt Wilson on drums, who's also going to be appearing at this year's Earshot Jazz Festival. We heard Dawn Clement in the trio playing one of her compositions titled Today. She's going to be featured throughout the festival in a variety of settings. For more information about the festival, be sure to see earshot.org for complete details and times and locations of all of the festival programming. October 8th through November 12th, all kinds of great jazz performances. 88.5 KNKX connects you with Jazz Northwest and news and music of the Pacific Northwest. Thank you to everyone who made a gift during the recent KNKX Fall Fun Drive. We made our $600,000 goal and ended the drive ahead of schedule, and it's thanks to people like you who make this station possible and all of the programming that you hear here on 88.5 KNKX. We all say thank you. We're talking about the Earshot Jazz Festival coming up. It starts next weekend. Some 50 performances and presentations during the festival. John Gilbreth is our guest on today's program, and one of the features of the festival marks the 100th anniversary of Thelonious Monk. He was born on October 10th, 100 years ago, and there are a number of events taking place during the festival which will honor that occasion.
Yep, the 100th birthday. And there's no shortage of Monk tributes going out on the road and being recorded. Of all the kind of architects of the jazz that we love today, Monk was the most fascinating to me. Reaching for words to describe Thelonious Monk, and I just can't do it. He was willing to be the tradition without absolutely having to collect the tradition in everything that he did. Super inventive, and the vocabularies that he established, which everybody screwed up their face and looked sideways at him when they came out, they're part of today's sensibilities.
Yeah. People used to say, well, he's not really a very good piano player, is he?
He was just going at it differently.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, so you have several different events, including an appearance by his son, T.S. Monk, who leads his own ensemble, and he's going to be recreating that famous town hall concert.
Or a couple of people are referencing that 1959 town hall concert. T.S. Monk, that's a hard-hitting, horn-driven band. Always when he comes around with a group, we're really looking forward to that. He found some transcriptions and some old notes from Thelonious Monk as well that he's built some music on.
Mm-hmm. He's a drummer, we should say.
He is a drummer, right. And also the pianist Jason Moran will be in with a big project on the 15th of October at the Neptune Theater. It's a multimedia project. Jason, the pianist who is running the jazz program at Kennedy Center now, says Monk was the best composer ever in all the world. Only Monk for him. And this project is multimedia. It's Jason with his bandwagon trio, which is kind of expanded with a horn section, so he's calling it the Big Bandwagon. And it includes video from the Loft era films and those things. And it also includes audio kind of outtakes from Monk during his own rehearsals and talking about the music with the musicians on the stand and things like that. And Jason has just a magical way of weaving all these things together.
So it's a great presentation.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Full evening multimedia.
One thing I've always found very interesting about Monk, there was a famous, I think it was 1957, Monk was playing at the Five Spot in Coltrane. He was a member of Monk's quartet there for a while. And he said, if you want to understand Thelonious Monk's influence on music and on John Coltrane in particular, listen to the recordings he made before he played with Monk that summer and the recordings he made
after. Oh, that's fascinating.
That was just a whole change in Coltrane's architecture and way of thinking of composition.
I can kind of hear it now that you're mentioning it that way. But yeah. Yeah, some of these things, when we look at it in the context of us here looking back, it looks one way. But when you came up to it from the time before it, the way that it is with geniuses, whether it's Frank Lloyd Wright or Igor Stravinsky, it's just like, what the heck is that, you know?
Yeah, really snaps your head around. Danilo Perez is going to be doing his Panamonk thing too, which is Panamanian music flavor of Thelonious Monk.
Yeah, he did a brilliant project in 1996. And again, speaking of ever, which Downbeat magazine labeled one of the most important recordings ever, Danilo Perez from Panama, he was in fact the cultural minister of Panama for a while, devised this project Panamonk with his prodigious piano skills, his reimagining of Thelonious Monk and the deep kind of hardwired Latin current of his home country. It's a great project, and he's expanding on that. It's a concert at the Triple Door, so it's a great venue for that trio.
On October 11th.
Yep.
John Gilbert is our guest today on Jazz Northwest. We are talking about the upcoming Earshot Jazz Festival, which begins next weekend. Talking about the music of Thelonious Monk, we'll hear a couple of the groups that are playing. T.S. Monk, who is Thelonious Monk's son. T.S. Monk is a drummer leading his own ensemble. And we'll also hear from Danilo Perez from his album Panamonk, which combines Panamanian rhythms with Thelonious Monk's music. First, here is an all-star group led by T.S. Monk. This is from an earlier album of his, which was titled Monk on Monk. A piece titled Bright Mississippi, which was Thelonious Monk's version of Sweet Georgia Brown Changes. Soloists in this recording include Christian McBride on bass and Jimmy Heath on tenor sax and Arturo Sandoval on trumpet and T.S. Monk at the drums.
Thank you.
little monk-like trill there at the end, too. Danilo Perez at the piano, with Avishai Cohen on bass and Jeff Watts on drums. Music from the 1996 recording Panamonk, Panamanian Rhythms with Thelonious Monk's music. Monk's beautiful ballad, Reflections, in that style by Danilo Perez. He is going to be performing at the Triple Door with his trio on the 11th. Before Danilo Perez, we were listening to T.S. Monk, Thelonious Monk's son, leading that ensemble in Bright, Mississippi by Thelonious Monk. And soloists in that were Christian McBride on bass and Jimmy Heath on tenor sax and Arturo Sandoval on trumpet, T.S. Monk at the drums. T.S. Monk will be leading an ensemble on the 18th at the Triple Door. 88.5 KNKX connects you with Jazz Northwest and news and information and music from around the region. We're previewing the upcoming Earshot Jazz Festival. The 29th festival begins October 8th and runs through November 12th with 50 concerts and other events going on around the area. And branching out a bit from Seattle, there's something coming up over on Bainbridge Island, as a matter of fact. John Gilbreth is with us to tell us about that.
Over on Bainbridge Island at the BIMA, the Bainbridge Island Museum of Art, three or four concerts, some films, some talking, some author readings, and various things like that. It's going to be, it's a great focus. They have a beautiful museum there with a sweet 100-seat concert hall in it. Jovino Santos Neto will perform over there. Matt Wilson will go over there with a trio with Don Clement, our resident artist, and some other things. We're happy to be doing that, expanding the reach.
I'd like to talk about some of the features of resident artists that we have here. In addition to all of the outstanding visiting artists who are going to be coming in to play the festival, also some returning people who
I love that part
around here.
Especially in the context of this jazz festival or any jazz festival, I love bringing artists who have come up here, gone on to New York City, are making definite waves in New York City and around the world, to bring them back and have them in concert here, sometimes with younger students, sometimes with peers, as in the case with the drummer Casa Overall, who came up
playing with the Garfield Jazz Band.
Absolutely, yeah. Right. I remember him in middle school. We did a Seattle Center Academy project, and Casa was like the star of that for a couple of years, and his older brother Carlos. Anyway, Casa was talking with Aaron Parks. Casa was touring with the late Jerry Allen in the trio and was talking with Aaron Parks in Paris, he said, and they were talking about maybe doing a Seattle thing. So Aaron Parks will come back. Casa's coming back. And then it's two of the Seattle mainstays, Thomas Marriott and Evan Flory Barnes. And Evan was on, coincidentally, Aaron Parks' first CDs when Evan was at the university and Aaron was briefly there.
And that's on Saturday the 21st. That'll be one of the concerts at the Poncho Concert Hall at Cornish College, yeah.
There is so much to talk about here. And that, yeah. It's just like when you start to take one thing leads to another, which is the way that it is in jazz. Also, the kind of manifestation of this part of jazz, that it's rooted in really a wonderful cultural heritage, and that's important to hold, but it's also a universe that seems to be expanding in all directions at all times. This festival just tries to catch up with part of it as it's moving and represented here in Seattle, because Seattle's got such a great music community.
And I wanted to mention a couple of other homecoming artists. Roxy Koss,
the tenor.
She's going to be here on the 15th.
She came up in the first two Garfield bands that won awards at Essentially Ellington. Roxy was in that 2000 and 2001 or 2002. Roxy Koss was kind of what led the Garfield bands to the hardware at Essentially Ellington.
She was a student of Don Lanphier's.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing a little girl who was scarcely taller than a tenor saxophone, and she had this big foofy sound like a Lester Young, a little breathy foof. Always surprising when that came out of her. And a guy I remember who was a student in one of my jazz history classes at Cornish College when I was teaching there, and that's Brigham Krause, the alto saxophonist, who's always gone his own way. Even back then, he was pointing off in a different direction. Interesting cat, and he's got an interesting project with strings.
Strings and reeds. He's started, or has been more out about playing guitar. And so it's a project he put together with the people at Cornish. It will be at Cornish College of the Arts, where Brigham graduated from. great to have Brigham Krause back. Last time he was through was with Stephen Bernstein in the bands, and there's always a lot going on there.
John Gilbreth, our guest on Jazz Northwest today, talking about the upcoming Earshot Jazz Festival, which begins next weekend, October 8th, with an opening festival kickoff, which takes place at the KEXP Gathering Space Sunday afternoon. The festival will continue through November 12th. For more information, be sure to see the Earshot website, earshot.org, for complete details. There are also handsome brochures available around town, and of course the Earshot magazine with even more information. So check it out. Earshot Jazz Festival, 50 events or more over the course of about 6 weeks. Lots of good music coming up with the Earshot Jazz Festival. Let's have some music from Roxy Koss, who we were just talking about. This is Roxy's group with Jeremy Pelt on trumpet. Roxy also plays in Jeremy's group. Alex Wintz is on guitar, Chris Pattershall on piano, Desiron Douglas bass, and Willie Jones III on drums. Roxy's New York band, and this is a tune titled Tricky. Roxy Koss on tenor sax. Thank you. A beautiful duet with Omar Sosa at the piano and Leandro St. Hill, concluding this edition of Jazz Northwest. Omar Sosa's Quarteto Afro-Cubano will be playing at the Seattle Art Museum Pleshoff Auditorium on Tuesday, October 17th, as part of the Earshot Jazz Festival. And Roxy Koss, who we heard just before that, will be at the Columbia City Theater October 15th. Roxy also plays with the Edmonds Woodway High School Jazz Band October 10th. For more information, be sure to see earshot.org. Our thanks to John Gilbert for being our guest on today's show. I'm Jim Wilkie, and this has been Jazz Northwest. You're listening to KNKX 88.5 Tacoma, Seattle, KPLI 90.1 Olympia, KVIX 89.3 Port Angeles, Victoria, KPLK 88.9 Cedro Woolley, and streaming all jazz worldwide at jazz24.org. Jazz, blues, and NPR News, 88.5 FM.